Welcome to Demystify Magic with Molly and Madison.
I'm Molly, a former skeptic turned full-time energy healer and teacher.
And I'm Madison, a born and raised witch running my family's crystal shop.
And we're here to explore all things woo through the lens of both science and spirituality so that you can find the moments of magic in your everyday life and create an intentional spiritual practice.
So if that's what you're into, find a cozy spot, take a deep breath, and let's demystify some magic.
Howdy doody, friends.
Howdy doody. We are howdy dooding.
Yeah, we're in a post-eclipse energetic slump that we are going to break out of right now and record this pod.
Molly and I are both wrapped in blankets in this moment. Before we started recording, we did one communal collective groan. We shook it out, and here we are.
Here we are. So if you're feeling the same way after that eclipse, you are not alone. Today, we are talking about candle magic, which I'm very excited about because people have been asking us for it for months and months and months and months, and we're finally doing it. So we're going to talk about what candle magic is, when you use it, why you use it, how to do it, and we're going to end with a little bit of fire safety, some word to the wise, learn from our mistakes.
Learn from our mistakes, and do I have some stories for you?
Yeah. So some of my stories have been caught live on the pod.
Molly's journey into candle magic has been pretty congruent with this podcast, and you can see it literally in what has occurred live on air.
But first, Madison, what was your magic moment of the week?
Okay, so as you may know, Spellcrafter opened a little over 2 weeks ago, and it's been an entirely different beast in that it's a lot more witchy, more overt in its, you know, occult vibes. And that has caused a little bit of fear in me of like, have I, you know, maybe bitten off more than I can chew? Is there really a community of people that like want this space? And the other day, this like group of three came in, and anytime that a man comes in to the store, either whether it's Hedgewitch or Spellcrafter, I kind of like assume that he's there just like with whoever he's with, like with the woman that he's with. Just because like if you look at this podcast, we're like 95% women. Our demographic at Hedgewitch and Spellcrafter is like 95% women. And this man walked up to me. First of all, he had a very cute dog.
Okay.
That was a very important part of the magic moment, is the dog was very cute and very sweet and very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked up to me and he said, with no preamble, like we had no conversation before this, he just said to me, there is such a huge community of witches that are so ready for this space to be here.
Aww.
And it took me so off guard, and it was so kind. And there's really been like kind of an undercurrent of that through everyone who's come in. Everyone who's come in has like really, really loved the space and has said that they've been looking for something like that. But hearing it from this random man with this very sweet dog who like didn't speak to me beforehand, something mm-hmm. about it is like burned into my brain because aww. He was so sincere. It was so lovely. And I've thought about it every day since.
I love that.
It was very sweet. What was your magic moment?
My magic moment involves you. Everyone listening to the pod, you will know I've been on a reading journey lately. I've been on a romantasy reading journey, a little fairy smut. That Madison has been leaps and bounds ahead of me, but I introduced Madison to a book. I started reading the Fourth Wing series books, and I could not put it down. That is the best book I have ever read in my entire fucking life, and I will not be taking criticism about it. It is so good. I could not put it down. And halfway through Iron Flame, I said to Madison, I need you to read Fourth Wing. I need you to read it. And she gets the book, and the first couple hundred pages, she's like, I don't know, the writing's kind of juvenile. I'm Madison. I used to work in publishing, and I'm kind of a snob when it comes to writing styles.
I am unfortunately such a snob. It is. And for someone who also loves romance novels, like being a snob who loves romance novels is, it's a difficult path. It's the path that I have unfortunately chosen, but it is the difficult path where you have to set a lot of things aside.
But anyways, she got so roped into it that she beat me to finishing Iron Flame and read both books in like 72 hours. And so I got to be the bestie that was like on the other side where she was like going to the parts that I loved and was like, oh my God. And I was like, I know. And then we finished the same day and we got to talk about it. And it was so fun.
It was really fun. So I've been in such a reading slump recently. Over the past few months, really, I read one book while I was on vacation that like kind of brought me out of it, where I was like, okay, if I just need to like keep this momentum going. And so your recommendation came at the perfect time. And I do miss reading bad books.
I know. Like, and now, so we're gonna read Crescent City together. So if anyone has been dying to start that series, slide into our DMs and we can buddy read it together.
Yeah, I read it a few years ago, and the third one
you
came out.
You read it? I thought you never read it.
No, I've told you this.
You. No, you're not my buddy reading anymore.
Okay, well, buddy reading's canceled. I read it years ago. Somebody buddy read with Molly, who hasn't read it before.
Wow.
But the other half of that sentence is that I don't remember what happens, and so I can't read the third one because I only remember that there's – oh, my God. Bessie, how did you think I hadn't read it when I'm like telling you that there's a twist at the end of book two that you need to read?
I don't know. I don't remember you saying that.
Molly is so mad at me.
I'm so upset right now. I was so excited. I was like, yay, we're going to read a series together that neither of us have read. And you're like just ripping the rug out from underneath me live on air.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know that you didn't know. I would have been more clear.
We are definitely reading Throne of Glass together.
Okay. Yes, I would love to.
You said you didn't want to read it.
I don't want to read it before Crescent City.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
I don't want to read it right now. Okay. I need to know what happens in the third Crescent City book.
I will read Crescent City with you if you read Throne of Glass with me after.
I would love to do that. But we're not going to follow those weird things online that say you have to read them in a different order. We're going to read them in the way the good Lord intended.
I'm so confused by those. I sent you that video where it was like, if you want to be emotionally destroyed, read it in this order. If you like a twist at the ending, read it in this order. I was like, I like all of those things.
No.
How can I choose?
I like the path most traveled. I like the path of least resistance, which is read them in their publication date. Order of publication date.
Wow, we just went on a roller coaster.
Let's do some self-soothing. We are physically incapable of not going on a tangent at this point. Mm-hmm. We went into this podcast episode. We went into this recording with like, okay, we're going to do a tight 20 minutes.
And then Madison said to me before we hit record, I burped into the microphone, and she said, I'm not going to explain, but that burp sounded like an Arizona burp.
I said that burp was from Arizona, and I stand by it, and I will not be explaining. That burp sounded like it went to the desert.
All right, candle magic. What is it, Madison?
Candle magic. Some might think that it's magic using candles.
Ooh.
Candle magic is my favorite type of magic because it is so, what's the word I'm looking for? It is so individualized. It's so easy to make very deeply personal. And everyone that I've ever talked to does it in a different way. We were even at the store. So during the eclipse, I didn't go down to Spellcrafter because it's like an hour drive from my house. And I was like, I don't want to deal with other people on the road. But the people who were there did some candle magic. And Anthony and I were literally talking about it yesterday, where it's our friend Linda, who also works at the store. And he was like, I learned a lot about how Linda does her magic yesterday based on the fact that she just grabbed things, didn't write anything down, and just was like pure chaos getting her way through it. And meanwhile, Anthony's like very meticulously writing everything that he does and like pulling up his past references and like, you know.
I am a Linda.
Uh-huh. So am I.
You are an Anthony. No, because you write your stuff down. Really?
No, I don't.
Oh, my God.
I used to. I did for maybe 5 minutes. I want to write my stuff down. I am a Linda aspiring to be an Anthony.
Okay. I'm a Linda okay with being a Linda. Let us know if you're an Anthony or a Linda. when it comes to your spell work.
Put it on a t-shirt. That being said, that is what I love about candle magic, is that there are a million different ways to do it. Even just lighting a candle and stating an intention is candle magic. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you can go all out with oils and crystals and herbs and putting them in the center of a crystal grid and, you know, doing the most and carving your intentions into them and everything in between. It really is like a choose your own adventure type of ritual, which is what I love so much about it. It's what we did when we started the podcast. We made That's what we did when we started the podcast, is we made podcast candles, because I was like, oh, this is where I feel most comfortable. And I know that I can get to the root of my intention very quickly and easily because of how many options there are.
And then I dropped it on my laptop.
Yeah, you did. You spread that intention all over.
It's all through my keyboard. I don't need to light that thing anymore. See, I love candle magic because it's like a one and done. Like, you set the intention once. Or in my case, you buy the intention. You buy the candle with the intention, so I don't have to do anything. And then I just light it. And for me, as someone who is very into like the mundane magic, the cleaning magic, the cleansing the space magic, I find it motivating to have a candle going while I'm doing those like more mundane tasks. Because I'm like, oh, cleaning my kitchen is a magical spell because I'm lighting this spell candle while I do it.
Mm-hmm. And that is also, like, candles are my favorite thing to buy from other witches.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, like, such an easy, like you said, a one and done of, like, the ritual part has already been done.
Yep.
And I just get to, like, participate and bask in it and experience it, especially, like, through somebody else's perspective.
And I like it, too, because, I mean, I have a whole shelf of candles that you've made at this point. Like, I think there's 30 of them.
I think you have the whole collection.
I have the entire collection from both stores and a couple of customs. And I sometimes don't know what I need. Mm-hmm. And so I just go to my candle shelf and I just go, which one feels right today? And I smell it and I'm like, yeah, need a little cleanse and protect. Mm-hmm. And then that's my intention for the day. And then I don't even have to think about what my intention is. I can just feel it.
I love that I get to be such a solid part of your practice.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a whole shelf. Look.
I know. I love it.
Anyways, you don't have to buy candles, or you don't have to buy magical candles to make a spell candle. And we're going to walk you through exactly how to make one yourself, when you might want to make one, and why you might want to make one.
Mm-hmm. So the when really does kind of go in with the different kind of candles that we'll talk about. But I kind of like to decide if I'm going to use candle magic. I like to really take a look at my intention and think to myself, okay, like, is this something? So for example, like the chime candles, the little ones that you see that are like 3 inches tall, I'm showing a visual to you.
The birthday as if candles for giants.
Yes, birthday candles for giants. Never forget. I look at the different size candles that I have available to me and compare them to my intention. So if I like want to, if I know that I'm going to want to light this candle every day for protection or for abundance or for attraction or for manifestation, whatever it is, you can do that with a chime candle, but you're going to burn through a lot of chime candles, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You want something a little bit heartier with some more burn time.
Yes.
For me, I always think of the smaller the candle, the more potent and stronger the intention while I'm holding it. Mm-hmm. So I think of it as like when I did a spell for Hercules, when he was in his fighting other dogs phase that he's still growing out of, I did a candle spell with a chime candle. And while that was burning, I was holding the intention really strongly. Mm. Versus when I have my 7-day candle that I burn for the podcast, it's like I set the intention when I light it. And then the intention just more gradually, passively infuses the space.
Yes. For a chime candle, I'm always working with like the idea that I'm going to sit down and I'm going to be present until this candle is finished. That's a good way to look at it, too. I really like that.
Yeah. And if you feel like you struggle with that length of time, use a regular birthday candle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because the time, the duration doesn't actually matter. It's your intention that matters. So if you're like, I know I can't sit still for more than like 15 minutes, just grab a birthday candle from the Dollar Tree.
Mm-hmm. And if lighting candles stresses you out, use a tea light candle.
Yeah.
They have about the same burn time usually as a chime candle, maybe a little bit more, but they're contained and they're mm-hmm. in a little coating and you don't have to stress as much about it. I know that for me, that was like the idea of having just a candle that stood upright on a little plate.
Yeah, it scares me.
It scared me. And so having like if you want a smaller length of time, tea light candles are a great way to go.
I love tea lights too because I buy the 100 pack from IKEA and mm-hmm. it takes me an entire lifetime to go through.
I still have the one that I bought 3 years ago.
Same. Same. And so what can you use candle magic for? Let's like rapid fire some ideas here. I know we've talked about in the past, you can light them as offerings for mm-hmm. your guides on your altar to call them in. We have an episode about that somewhere in the archives. Mm-hmm. We've talked about doing spells with them. So like I said, like a spell for my dog, or if you wanted to do an abundance spell, a money spell. I know all of your ritual kits come with candles mm-hmm. to do candle magic with them.
Yes.
What else?
I think that they are great for any kind of manifestation or attraction work because I see a candle as like a guiding light, like a, literally like a lighthouse. Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
That's the imagery that comes up for me a lot.
I also see it as nice like banishment work and cleansing work because fire is cleansing. Mm-hmm. So I see it as like you can attract as a lighthouse or you can burn away and release whatever's not serving you.
Yes. I also think candle magic is a really great way to like embed mundane, easy magic into your mm-hmm. life, especially with things like 7-day candles that will last you a really long time. And yep. the intention is just in lighting it and keeping it. And honestly, candle magic is always the thing that I come back to when I'm feeling really disconnected from my spiritual practice because mm-hmm. like there is something that just feels and looks so witchy about having dressed candles and having candles burning and candlelight. Like it just does bring you back. It brings me back to center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like you can be as intentional as you want with it. You know, there are meditations for gazing upon flames. Mm-hmm. So you could do a meditation practice with your candle or you could just light it in your space and let the scent fill your space. I know for me, like people always ask me about ritual baths and I'm like, sometimes my ritual bath is I just light a candle mm-hmm. and I set my intention and that's my bath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like you can make it as simple as you want. Or sometimes like my new moon ritual is just lighting my new moon candle mm-hmm. and just keeping it really easy because that's sometimes that's all you have the energy for and that's all you need.
Mm-hmm. It's also something great if you do any kind of reading or divination. Lighting a candle that kind of for me that sets the tone and it serves as like a it's like an on switch. It's like an on sign. Of like, okay, this is what this time is dedicated to. And so using the intention of intuition and calling upon your guides and mm-hmm. leaning into your psychic ability, having that as something to center you when you're going to do any kind of divination. Also, fire scrying is really fun. Mm-hmm. And so using that same candle to fire scry, which is literally like you can gaze upon like into the flame also. I know someone who takes pictures, like rapid fire takes pictures as the flame moves and then goes through the photos and looks, which is easier for me in my squiggly brain.
Yeah.
Because I'll forget what I've seen the second. Like there's something, especially if a flame is moving a lot,
mm-hmm.
I'm like so focused on trying to see something that I'm missing things. And so having something that I can scroll through and look, mm-hmm. that is a lot more helpful for me.
And speaking of squiggly brains, there's actually a very cool practice in the mundane community using candles that you can make a little witchy. And that is to, like, you know how when you have a project that you need to focus on, it's hard to get started. But then once you're in it, mm-hmm. right? So you can actually use candles to help set you up for that. So if you have a tea light candle, you can light it when you're starting your project and say, okay, I'm going to work on this project only until this tea light burns out. Mm-hmm. And it's like a visual timer for your brain. And it can be really helpful for those of us with executive dysfunction or ADHD or other squiggly brainness. But you can also use candle magic to infuse that with focus or infuse that with attraction. You know, like the other day I was sending out some emails for my business, like like pitching myself for different things. And so I lit an attraction candle to like attract the right opportunities to me while I was doing that. You can do it for focus. You can do it for clarity. You can do it communication. Like whatever you feel like you need for that task, you can put that in the candle and then light it and you begin. And when it burns out, you're done.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never used that tactic before. Like the tea light candle for how long you do something. I love that. I'm going to have to try it.
Try it. Okay, so let's talk about how you choose your candle. We talked about the burn time and the size of the candle matters. So if you have something you want to prolong the intention, you're going to want a larger candle with a longer burn time. If you want something just to do like a spell in the moment with a really potent intention that you're focused on the whole time, you want a smaller candle. What about colors of candles?
So if you head to our Instagram, you'll see we have a little bit of a chart for some color magic.
Mm-hmm.
A good staple for me, if like especially if you are going to a metaphysical store or ordering candles online and you don't want to like clutter your house with a bunch of different options, if you want to have like staples and you want to be, this is how I am, is that I don't think of a spell I want to do or think of an intention and then want to buy the stuff. I want to have the stuff. That's like how I do best. Mm-hmm. Just getting white or black candles, whichever feels the most quote unquote neutral to you. It's kind of like, it's like a roux. Here I'm in my Molly era making analogies. Okay.
Here we go.
White or like any candle that feels neutral to you can be like a roux. Where is that what it is? Where it's just the flour and water.
I don't know what you're going here. Like finish the analogy and I'll tell you if it makes sense.
A roux can make mac and cheese.
Uh-huh.
But it can also make something else that's not mac and cheese.
you were this close.
I realized that the only thing that I use to make a roux is make with a roux is mac and cheese.
And you're asking the girly who doesn't eat gluten or cheese.
Well, I'm going to Google, what do you use a roux for? Okay. You could make gravy for biscuits and gravy.
Okay. All right.
With a roux.
Yeah. Okay.
You can make great mac analogy. And cheese. You can make scalloped potatoes. You can make pot pie filling.
Great analogy. Yes.
Thank you.
A white or black candle is your roux.
Uh-huh. And you can go kind of anywhere with it, especially if you're using things like crystals and herbs and oils.
Mm-hmm.
Just stock yourself with white or black candles in a couple different sizes.
Yeah.
And you can really kind of do whatever.
Yeah, a white candle, rosemary, and clear quartz. Those are the three Uno wild cards that you can do pretty much any spell with those three things and just set a different intention each time.
Mm-hmm. But if you do want to infuse a little bit more color magic, I will often use red for passion, love, creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Orange, same with creativity. Green for abundance. We've had a lot of people in our DMs. This is like one of my favorite parts of the podcast, is where a lot of people have messaged us and said that green holds no, like green does not associate with abundance for them at all because money for them is not green. So whatever color your currency is, I'll use that for abundance. For me, that's green.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember when someone DM'd us and said like they think of red for abundance because the Chinese like New Year abundance envelopes or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that is so interesting. And now whenever I think of red, I think of abundance now. Like that connection has been made for me.
I love that. Purple for me can also be abundance and like abundance with the energy of like stepping into your power because it's often associated with the color of royalty. Purple for me is also psychic ability, intuition. Mm-hmm. If you not, this is like going to be my only plug for my spell candles. But if you go to the Healing Hedge Witch, that's where I have the larger line. Or if you go to Spellcrafter, but there's a little less color in those labels. The color of the label of the Healing Hedge Witch spell candles is a more common color association for those intentions.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a free resource of what color to choose for your candle magic, just go look at our labels.
And then you could also just buy them all and have a shelf like I do and not have to think about it.
That is also available to you.
So, okay. So you choose your candle, you choose the size, you choose the color. Now what?
Now your options are quite literally limitless. So one of our favorite things to do, I know that we've talked about a million times on the podcast, we have a whole episode dedicated to it, is sigils.
Sigils.
Carving a sigil into a candle or using like paint markers, especially if you have a 7-day candle or anything that's like encased in glass, even if it's like a spell candle that you've bought from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Paint markers or Sharpies to draw on the outside. One, looks so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And two, is literally like marinating that candle in sigil magic.
Yeah. I draw sigils on the lids of the candles that I buy from you.
Oh, that's smart too, because when you like, you're looking at it as you both start and finish.
Yep.
I love
bookending.
Ooh.
Yeah. And if you don't want to make a sigil, sometimes I just write the word into the candle. If I'm like, I need a quickie. I don't want to make a whole sigil. I don't want to make a whole thing. I'll just carve it in with a toothpick or actually, usually I have a small citrine, like double terminated point. So it's got a tip at each end. And I actually just use that because it's, I'm like, I'm infusing it with crystal energy while I do this.
That's really smart. I bought like a seam splitter, I think is what it is, from the dollar store. Nice. And that's what I use. And it just like has a little handle, which I really like. And then just like a not super sharp needle on the end.
Wow. All right. Love that. So you can carve a sigil into it, carve a word into it. You can also dress it up. Tell me about dressing candles.
So you can dress a candle with oil, herbs, or, and I sometimes use little crystal chips. If you're dressing with oil, I will oftentimes only do that on like a chime candle or a pillar candle, like something that doesn't have glass around the sides, because I get nervous putting oil on top.
Wait, I have a tip for this.
Wait, tell me.
Okay, I learned this from someone on TikTok, from Jack's Witchy Ways, who I love. I also buy oils from her. But she took a skewer, like, you know, like a barbecue skewer.
I have seen
on the
7-day
candles, and dug it in. And so it made like a little tunnel and then dripped the oil in there. That's what I do now.
I like that.
And I love it. Yeah, because I have lit one too many chime candles on fire with too much oil.
So what I'll do when I am doing it with a chime candle, or like putting
other
it on the
thing.
Oh, wait, no, tell me.
Sorry, one more.
No,
sorry,
please.
One more. is I've seen people take, because a lot of times I use tea lights and it's really hard to get all the oils and herbs and things on the tea lights. So you actually can lift the tea light out of the little metal tin and put the herbs and the oil underneath and then set it back down, and then you won't explode.
Yeah, depending on where you get it from, yes. Or also, if you use a hairdryer, or like you can just get a heat gun on Amazon. This is pro tip. This is how I top all of our candles, and because we make tea lights. If you hit it with a hairdryer or a heat gun for just a little while, you wait until the top of that tea light gets just like a little glossy. And then you sprinkle it in, your herbs. It sinks underneath the wax, and then it's not flammable anymore, really.
Oh, hot tips over here.
You can also do that for larger candles, especially like 7-day candles don't have as much real estate either.
Yeah.
So if you just heat up the top just a little bit, one, it's a little bit less messy. Why are you laughing?
Remember when the first time I did that to make my podcast candle, and I ended up getting the hair dryer too close and it sprayed wax everywhere?
No, I don't remember that.
I just had a flashback to that moment. So now I use the skewer method.
Maybe if you're feeling like this is something that you're going to do long term, you invest in the heat gun.
I have one. I mean, my husband is a building maintenance professional, so he has one. But, you know, I needed it done right away.
Right, that second.
I was on the hyper fixation. But you can basically pick any oils. Like if you have spell oils, if you have rollers, I will often like roll the tip of the roller in my fingers and then rub my fingers on the candle. You can drop oil on the candle. Really, you can have fun with it.
And then I use that oil to help the other stuff stick to the side. So I use the oil like glue. So that is why I will use it on the sides of a chime candle or like a pillar candle is I got to have something to stick my stuff.
Yeah. Or alternatively, if you don't want to use oil or you don't have oils, you can, first of all, hot tip, if you have any sort of sticky uppy candle, so a birthday candle, a chime candle, a pillar candle, if you burn the bottom of it, you can melt it just enough to stick it to a plate. And then what I will do is put the herbs around it on the fire safe plate. So say I want to do something for protection, I'll put like a salt ring around it.
You also don't have to use spelled oils. So if you have any kind of cooking oil, like I will use olive oil in a pinch and just dab a teeny bit on my finger, rub it between my fingers so it's like just barely there and put it on the candle.
And you can also look up like there's magical intentions for olive oil, for coconut oil, for peanut oil, whatever oils you're using. You can look up the magical intentions of that.
Treat your chime candle like a chicken nugget and put it in some fucking peanut oil.
Just slather some ranch dressing on it. You know?
Bessie, what are the magical properties of ranch dressing?
Well, let's find out. I know like it's buttermilk. So that's, butter is great for soothing,
but
it's great for abundance. It's great for...
Does buttermilk have butter in it?
Transformation? Yeah.
No, buttermilk is the milk that comes out when the butter's gone.
Whatever. It's all the same. What else? Oh, garlic and onion. Garlic, onion, mustard powder.
Dill.
Well, garlic and onion is great for banishment, right? If you think about onion breath, garlic breath. Dill is great for luck and passion and balance. Abundance. Mm-hmm. We've got parsley in here. Parsley is great for protection, success, purity. You could, it's like ranch dressing, you could do literally everything with. There's chives in it. Those block negativity. They're great for balance and strength.
Bestie. I know what I'm doing.
Slather some ranch dressing.
When we're done with this podcast. Literally slather some ranch dressing on it. Oh, God.
Or just like whatever herbs you have. So we've talked about before in our episode of low effort kitchen witchery, how you can go through your spice cabinet, your tea cabinet, label the herbs you have with magical intentions. We have some tips for how you can figure those out in that episode if you haven't listened to it yet. But yeah, sometimes I'll just bust open a tea bag and roll my candle in it.
Mm-hmm. And that's the best. Like I will literally set out a baking sheet, pour my herbs onto it, mix it up, like shake the baking tray.
Like shake and bake chicken.
Literally, like shake and bake. Are we hungry?
Yeah, I am.
And then roll the candle in it. And then I just have an herb blend to use in other ways. So I'll just pour what's left over into a little bag and I have a bath or, you know,
a spell jar
or to save for future candles, you know? I like meal prep my herb blends.
I know I won't meal prep my actual food, but I will meal prep. Yeah, I do that with my money bowl. I make like a little herb sprinkle to feed it, and then I'll roll a candle in it, and then I'll put it into a little baggie, and I'll put it in my purse.
I love that.
Love it. And again, you could do this with crystals. You could make a crystal grid and then stick your candle in the middle of it and infuse it or light it in the middle of the grid. You can, sometimes I will just, if I have a regular candle, I will just stick a crystal, like a pyramid, especially I love, on top of the candle to infuse when I'm not lighting it. And that's really fun. So you can really play with it. Again, you are the magic. Your intention is what matters most. So don't get caught up in right or wrong. Just let it be fun. That's if we could give like one note for all of our episodes, it's just let it be fun.
Let it be fun.
And then, of course, we need to end on some fire safety so that you don't sue us if things go wrong. But also so you can learn from our mistakes.
Most importantly, so you don't sue us. Second most importantly, so you don't get hurt.
Yeah.
This is my soapbox, okay? I could stand on the fire safety soapbox for hours.
Can I interrupt first? The reason Madison and I are friends is because she posted a video on TikTok of you almost burning your house down with a money candle. Because I remember watching your tutorial and being like, yeah, I'm going to do that. When I get the motivation. And then I saw the next one was just glass everywhere.
Yep. That did happen to me once. The most important part is you are quite literally playing with fire.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye on, I mean, this should be true of a candle you buy from Target, right? Like, don't leave an open flame unattended. Yep. Anything else that you introduce is just more and more reason to keep your eyes on the candle. Especially when you're working with herbs and oils, you're putting more flammable pieces onto something that is going to be lit on fire.
Yeah.
So it's usually not a huge deal if something catches fire if you're looking at it and you watch it happen.
Yeah. And if you want to hear this in action, listen to our low effort full moon rituals. That's all I'm going to say.
We'll just leave it like a little treat for you.
A little treat magic.
Something else that's really important that I want to tell people, because I have learned that not many people know this, is that when a candle catches fire, that is a grease fire.
Mm, okay.
And what do we know about grease fires?
We don't blow on it.
We don't put water on it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, am I teaching you something?
Why? Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Hank Green has probably done a video on the science of this. I think he has. But the fire gets bigger. Like, look up water on a grease fire. It's like something that is especially like important in cooking.
Yeah.
You're supposed to smother a grease fire, not put it out with water. And so that's why if you get a candle from the Healing Hedge Witch or from Spellcrafter, they come with a little lid.
Mm-hmm.
You just throw that baby on there.
Yeah.
Remove the oxygen from the equation. But if you don't have that, you can put it out with, like, you just, especially with a 7-day, with a 7-day candle, you just put something on top of it, something metal on top of it that snuffs it out. When you're dressing a candle, you generally want to keep the herbs away from the wick.
Mm-hmm.
So give it just a little bit of some space and clip your wicks. Please, please, please. If you remember one thing from this, it is to clip your wick.
I have a story that has nothing to do with fire safety, but the other day I was burning my Mercury retrograde candle for, you know, the 5th day in a row. And I realized I needed to clip my wick when I sneezed later in the day and soot came out of my nose.
Oh, I do remember that. You told me
that. I was like, where did this come from?
Don't be like Molly. But most importantly, the flame does not need to be that big. And really, even like, especially if you have a wood wick candle, you think that a longer wick is going to result in a larger flame, and it won't, because the flame is actually using the wax as fuel. So you want the wick to be as close to the wax as possible. So with a wooden wick, it's about 1/8 of an inch. And with a cotton wick, I usually do about 1/4 of an inch.
Amazing. We love that. And for our friends on the metric system, you're going to have to translate that, because I don't know what that is.
It's small. It's little. It's very small, very little. And you'll also want to, especially when you're working with herbs, blow those candles out when there's about 1/2 inch or 1/4 of an inch of wax left. Because when there's no wax left, the flame will move on to those herbs.
As we learned in the full moon episode.
Yep. When there's no more fuel, we move on to different things. Just generally be careful. And if you're not comfortable, don't go outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep an eye on it. It should be okay. It doesn't light fast. If the herbs do light, as someone who's littered on fire many, many times, it doesn't happen like in an instant. If you're in the same room as it, watching it, like, it's fine. Also, this is a question that I get often, is people want to know what to do with the crystal chips at the end of their candle. And you're raising your hands.
Me. Pick me. So,
okay.
This is also if you want to reuse your vessels for anything else. I wouldn't recommend like putting another candle in a already used glass vessel, but they make great planters. They make great holders for tchotchkes. And this is the easiest way to get the crystals out of the bottom of the candle. Pour boiling water into the vessel. You don't have to fill it up all the way, just enough to like create some
cover
space.
The wax.
Yeah, cover the wax. The hot water will melt the wax. Because the wax is lighter than water, it will rise to the top. And you'll just have a disc of wax that you can use as a wax warmer or as a wax melt if you have a warmer.
Ooh.
Pro tip. And then everything in the bottom will just be sitting there with no wax on it.
There you go. I was going to give a much more convoluted answer, but that
what was your
I should leave it to.
Wait, I want to know.
It's not good. It's not good.
What was your method?
Well, my first method was I'd just throw it away. It's not worth the hassle.
No.
And then my second method was dig them out by hand and then run them under hot water and individually wipe them off. So no. I like your method a lot better.
You definitely don't want to do that because you do not want wax in your drain. Take it from someone okay. who has good had wax know. In their drain. It's not good. But the boiling water method works really well. And then you just have the little chippies to put in a spell jar or feed them to your money bowl or carry them in your pocket or use them to top a different spell candle. Reduce, reuse, love recycle.
This. Love this. I'm learning so much from you.
I try my best.
And I know some people are going to ask, but what if my crystals aren't safe in water? I can't pour boiling water. Just, it's fine. It'll be fine if it's just wet for a minute.
Don't drink the water.
Yeah. Don't drink the water.
Dry them wax off.
Yeah, they're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like pyrite specifically. If you leave pyrite in water for too long, it will, it can rust.
Mm-hmm.
So you just douse them and then take them out and dry them off really good. They'll be okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Most of the issues with crystals that are not water safe is around like charging water with them, right? Like it becomes dangerous when you drink the water or like if you lick the crystal.
Yeah, don't lick the crystal.
Don't lick any crystals.
Don't leave them in the water for a long time, you know, because that can start to cause deterioration or make them more prone to breakage or rust or whatever. But if you're just pouring water on it to get them out and then drying them off, they're going to be okay. They're fine.
Yeah. All right.
We did it.
We did it.
Can't wait to see your candle magic. Make sure you tag us.
Please tag us, send us pictures, let us know your favorite ways to use candle magic. If there's anything that we left out that you want us to talk about, slide into our DMs. We love to chat with you guys.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Demystify Magic with Molly and Madison. If you want to learn more about us, you can find all our links in the show notes.
We'd love to know what you think of today's episode, so drop us a review or give us a shout out on social media. And don't forget to let us know your magical moment of the week. Okay, love you.
Bye. Bye.